Genesis chapter number 43. Just a simple thought tonight, a quick thought here in the Old Testament. Very familiar scripture. We read of Joseph, who is the ruler, who is the one in great authority. He is the one that's in highest position there in Egypt. We find here in the text, Genesis chapter 43, verse number 11. The Bible says, "And their father said unto them," this is Jacob, this is Israel speaking. "Their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this, take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and take the money that was brought out again in the mouth of the sacks. Carry it again in your hand, preadventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away you, your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." Father, tonight we ask you that you'd bless the reading of your word. Have your will, have your way tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished and done here in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text, we find Jacob, Israel, has sent his sons, 10 brothers, 10 sons, down to Egypt to buy corn. There's great famine in the land. They're lacking food, they're lacking corn, they're lacking substance. So Jacob, Israel, he hears that there's corn in the land, and he says to his sons, he says, "Get you down hither and buy for us from hence, that we may live and not die." There in Egypt, after the great travel, after the great journey, the sons, the 10 sons of Jacob, encounter Joseph, the brother that some 20 years earlier they sold, they enslaved, they entrapped and sold into slavery. And now they're standing before Joseph. Joseph is standing before them, who was sold. He was taken down to Egypt. We know the story how he was placed in Pharaoh's house. And there in Pharaoh's house, he was a steward. He was a faithful steward. He was a ruler there in Pharaoh's house. But yet, Joseph, or Pharaoh's wife, she accuses Joseph of something that he was not guilty of. Joseph rejects and he stops her advances, and she lies about Joseph. And we know the story how Joseph is put into prison. There in prison, he meets a butler and he meets a baker. This butler and this baker have a dream. They have a dream and they need someone to interpret this dream. And Joseph, there in prison, there in the dungeon, interprets their dream. To the butler, he said, "You will be restored to your previous job." But to the baker, he tells the baker that your life will come to a quick end. And he asks of the butler, "The only thing I require, the only thing I ask, is that you would remember me when you stand before Pharaoh." As the butler stands before Pharaoh, he forgets all about Joseph. Joseph is the last thing on his mind until 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. He's needing, he's longing, he's looking for someone to interpret this dream. And the butler is mindful of Joseph. We find Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. And now Pharaoh has advanced Joseph. He is a ruler in the land. He's one in high authority. He is the prince. He's overseer of all the possessions, of all the goods. Famine has come. Now people from all over other nations are coming to Israel, or coming to Egypt, to buy corn from Joseph. We find now Joseph's brothers, they're standing before him. The ones that sold him into slavery, they're needing food. They're desiring something they have no need of or have need of. And Joseph gives them food. He gives them supplies. He gives them blessings. But we find here, he takes Simeon. He takes a brother and binds him. And he tells the other nine brothers to go back, to take some money, to take corn, to take these gifts. But when you come back to see me, bring Benjamin. We find that Jacob, the Bible said, was bereaved. He's already lost one son, he thinks, Joseph. He has now a son, a Simeon, who's bound in Egypt. And now they're wanting his youngest son, the son of his old age, Benjamin. They tell his father of this one, Joseph, that's great in position, that's great in power, that's great in authority. But Jacob is reluctant. He's reluctant to send Benjamin. But as time goes on, they run out of food again. Great famine. They're starving to death. They're in great need. And Jacob has only one option. One option: to send his son back to Egypt, to send his youngest son, Benjamin, back to Egypt. Let me say tonight, sometimes the things that we think or seem so hard, those decisions we think are so difficult, are the very ones that God uses to bless. When we come to the place where we can't make any other decision than to trust God, to place all of our faith, our hope in Him, that's when God will reveal Himself to us. This morning I preached on the thought of what to do when you don't know what to do. Jacob is in a situation, his family's starving, his sons are starving, he's run out of food, there's a great famine in the land, and now he does not know what to do. He does not want to lose his youngest son, Benjamin. Jacob has no other decision but to send Benjamin. He said, I'll send Benjamin. I may never see him again. I may never be able to hold him again. I may never see Simeon again. Joseph is already gone. I'm bereaved. What can I do? But he tells them. He tells his sons that are going to buy corn. He said, when you go to this one in great authority, when you go to this great ruler, I want you to take some gifts. Take some presents. Take some gifts and give this one that has great power. Give this one that has great authority. Give this one that's sitting on the throne there in Egypt some gifts. Verse number 11, the Bible says, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present. He's telling them to take some gifts. Maybe, just maybe, if we give this man some gifts, if we give this ruler some gifts, if we give this king some presents, maybe, just maybe, he'll show some mercy. Maybe, just maybe, he'll show and extend some grace. Maybe he'll be kind to us. I was thinking this afternoon, Jacob is poor. Great famine in the land. No money or no food, and he's needing, he's wanting, he's starving. What does someone in that position, someone that's poor and needy, give a king? What does Joseph need? This man that is great in authority, the ruler over all the land, that owns all these great possessions, what do you give someone in that position? Joseph owns it all. He owns it all. What do you give a king? What would he want? What does this king desire? What would bring him great, great pleasure? You know, this is an Old Testament picture of you and I sitting here tonight at Fletcher First Baptist Church. We've all been guilty of sin. We're all poor and needy and wanting. What do we have? I mean, what can we offer? What can we present? What can we give a king? He does not need silver or gold. Jesus Christ owns the cattle and the hills and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has great authority and great power. He does not need anything. What do we have tonight that we could give a king? What to give a king? Just three short thoughts tonight and I'll be done. Let me say number one, we can give a simple gift. Verse 11, the Bible says, take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down a manna present. Here's the present. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almond. Jacob gave the king. Jacob gave Joseph, on top of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a simple gift. Something simple. It was something so simple, but it was the best that he had. You know, many times I feel like we can give certain things to God. We can give certain things to Jesus Christ that we could that would pacify him. But all he wants from you and I tonight are the simple things that we have. You see, the simple things, I believe, are the most valuable things. The older I get, and hope wiser I get, I find myself wanting less things of the world and the more simple things in life. Just this past week, I had a birthday. My wife, my children, they brought me some presents. And that was good and that was grand. But it was the simple things they did that brought me great pleasure. It was those handwritten cards. It was those notes to what they thought about me and how much I meant to them. It was those things that they wrote down and that brought me great joy, that brought me great pleasure, that made my heart jump and thrill. Tonight, it's the simple things that we can give a king that brings him great pleasure. Mary, when she broke that alabaster box, it was a simple thing. It was a simple thing, but it was the best that she had to offer Jesus Christ in expressing her love and her gratitude and her appreciation toward him. I believe Jacob, he sent these items. He said, it's not much. We're in a great famine. I don't have much to offer him. I know it's simple, but it's the best that I have to offer. Jesus, he just wants the simple things. You know, tonight, we're here. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or some position in the church. But every one of us here tonight, we have something simple that will touch the heart of God. I seen it this past week. This past week, there were so many in a church that labored, that worked, that toiled, that cleaned up, that volunteered, that taught our kids in the classroom and taught them the Word of God. Yes, it was taxing. Sure, it was tiring. Yes, it took time. It was something simple, but I believe it pleased our Savior investing time and sharing the Word of God with those little children. Simple gifts. Simple things that please God. What did God require of Israel? Nothing great, nothing hard. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, what doth the Lord God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and serve the Lord God with all thy heart? Something simple. Simple. You know, every one of us, everyone here tonight, every one of us can pray. The most needful thing. The most lacking thing, the most needful thing in our church is prayer. It's something simple we can offer. We say, Lord, I can't offer you much. I can't give you much. I don't have much in a way to offer, but I can talk to you in prayer. I can intervene on someone's behalf. I can tell you in prayer and communion how much you mean to me. Something so simple. What can we give a king? A king that has it all. A king that's great in authority and in power. Let me say, number one, some simple gifts. Number two, let me say some sacrificial gifts. Verse number 12, Jacob tells his sons to take a simple gift. Take some little honey, little balm, some nuts, some almonds, some myrrh. But in verse 12, he says, and take double money in your hand, and take the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, pre-adventure, it was an oversight. Now we know the story as Joseph sends his son back to Egypt, he puts money, he puts that in their sacks. But Jacob says, take double money. He's wanting to give sacrificial. Not only simple gifts, but sacrificial gifts. He's wanting to give Joseph, this one in authority, sacrificial. You know, when we give sacrificial, when we're stretched beyond our means, there's an element of faith involved. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm not talking about offerings. This church is a giving church, a loving church. You're so faithful to give and give and give. But it's those things, the time, the effort, when it doesn't seem convenient, when you have to give sacrificially. When Abraham offered his son Isaac, God did not want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. It's sacrificial giving. There was a man that contacted Charles Spurgeon. He wrote Charles Spurgeon. He said, Mr. Spurgeon, there's a church, and it's a country church that's a dying church. They're in need of great finances, and I feel that you're the most prominent preacher of the area. You can draw great crowds. You draw great masses. If you'll come and you'll preach, it'll help this church. He told Mr. Spurgeon, he said, I'll pay your fare. I'll pay all your way, your food. He said, I have three homes. He said, I have a home on the seaside, I have a home in the countryside, and I have a small villa there in the middle of town. You can stay at whatever home you desire. Just come. Come and preach. Come and help the church. Charles Spurgeon wrote him back. He said, and by no means will I come. He said, sell one of your homes and give it to the church. You see, this man, he did not want to give what God had given him. He tells us what we should give sacrificially. I'm not speaking of tithes and I'm not speaking of offerings, but those simple things in your life, your ability, the talent, the position God's put you in, are you giving it sacrificially? I was thinking this afternoon of Billy Graham. Before Billy Graham preached those massive crusades, before he preached and began to travel the world, he was going to small churches preaching, faithfully preaching. He was invited to a small country church. He was the guest preacher, the honored preacher to preach that evening. And before he preached, they took up an offering. They said that this man, he walked by Billy Graham with the offering plate, and he stood there. He held the offering plate in front of Billy Graham and didn't move. I mean, here's the visiting preacher. And this man, this usher standing before him and waiting for Billy Graham to put some money in the offering. They say that Billy Graham pulled his wallet out back in the days where a little bit of money went a long way, and he had $11. And he was so nervous, he was so anxious, this man was making him nervous, he was waiting for him to put something in the offering. He meant to put a dollar bill, but he put that $10 bill in the offering plate. And he didn't realize it till the usher began to walk away. So nervous and so anxious, after the service, he goes to his wife, Ruth Graham, and he said, I made a terrible mistake. There was an usher, he stood in front of me, he would not move, he was waiting for me to drop something in the offering plate, and I accidentally put that $10 bill, I had 11, I put the $10 bill in there. I don't know what we're going to do for the next month, I don't know how we're going to live, I don't know how we're going to get by. They say Miss Graham looked at him and said, what are you so anxious about, Billy? God will only give you credit on what you tended to give. He'll only give you credit on that dollar bill. I'm not talking about offerings. I'm not talking about tithes. But have you given God sacrificially? What's God given you? That talent God's given you. That ability God's given you. Are you giving it sacrificially? Number three, what do we give a king? We can give him simple gifts. We give him sacrificial gifts. Let me say number three, we give him submissive gifts. This ruler, Joseph, the one in great authority, he tells them, he tells the brothers, he demands of them to bring Benjamin back with them. He said, if you don't bring back Benjamin, there's no need to come and see me. He said, I want to see this one named Benjamin that you say of. If you don't bring him, you might as well stay home. You realize tonight there's certain demands that God's given us in his word. He's given us demands. He demands us to praise him. He demands us to worship him. He demands us that we're to walk according to his word. He demands us that we should love him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. God demands some submissive things in our life. Jacob has no food. He has no resources. His family's starving to death. And he finally gets to the point where he said, God, I'll submit. I'll send Benjamin. I may be bereaved over Benjamin. I'm bereaved over Joseph. I'm bereaved over Simeon. But I'll submit. You know, when I was 25 years old, 2001, God saved my wretched soul. Several years later, he began to deal with me about preaching. Began to speak to my heart and trouble me about preaching his word. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that's not my personality. That's not who I am. I don't like to public speak. Why me? Many, there's most, all are better orators. They're more educated than I am. Not me, Lord. He troubled me and he troubled me and he troubled me till he got me to the place. In 2007, sitting on the third row, he said, Gunn, if you don't submit now, if you don't submit, I'll take my blessings and my approval off your life. Have you submitted to God? All he wants is submission as a gift. All he wants is the simple things in your life. All he wants is those sacrificial things that you can give. What can we give a king? A king that owns it on. That only and the only blessed potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we can give him some simple gifts, some sacrificial gifts, and submissive gifts. That's my message I have tonight. We'll all stand. And Lee, do you mind helping me out on the piano?